Try these on.
Look! Look at them, they're everywhere!
I've got one that can see.
Welcome to the Sight to the Blind podcast. I am your host. It seems to me that every week is something going on. And every week people are not really investigating or trying to make sense of why certain events happen that have to do with numbers. Like the Philly Fire address. It happened on North 23rd. Two threes. Or two times three is six. Or three, two threes, which is three plus three is six. And it happened at 6 in the morning. How does a fire start at 6 in the morning when there are smoke detectors operable, but somehow they were broken? Who set a fire where there's 20-some people living in one specific apartment complex or duplex? How does this happen? How is it no fire alarms in any of the adjacent apartment buildings or the apartments go off? I mean, there was multiple floors to this building. If the fire was coming out the window, it had to either cause the smoke to ventilate itself inside other, apartment buildings. It makes no sense. And what they do after every event that they created based on these numbers, they'll give you a couple of pictures of who these victims are, but you never know if these children have already died. You don't know if these adults have already passed on. They could just grab from Instagram and just put pictures together and say these are the victims of the fire, and people look at it, poor them, and just throw it over your shoulder, like it doesn't matter anymore. All right, what's the next thing? And then the next fire comes right after that is the Bronx fire, and that address is 333. On January 9th, people look at this like, oh, it's just poor people. Like, oh, this, it shouldn't happen to them. Well, that's what happens when they live in, the poor slums. People have to understand the fire departments have a Masonic affiliation. They have a fraternal order. Police departments have the same thing. They have a fraternal order. Why would you think they would need to have Freemasons or Freemasonry in the fire department or in the police department? Why do you think they would need to have these entities in there? Because it's not like the Freemasons are giving joy and honor and praises to the Most High. Their God is Lucifer. Their God is the architect of numerology. They're in there to save your lives, but they also created a brotherhood. So if you've ever seen the movie Backdraft, that's a perfect example of what you think they actually do. Where that guy, I forgot his name as an actor, but what he was doing was lighting fires at specific addresses so to go fight them and make money off of whatever they were doing. And he was making the fire so perfectly. No, everybody thought it was just from what? From smoke detectors or bad electrical wiring. But he was doing it so well that it was undetectable. This is what this whole place is about. That's why I'm telling you, try to see the battlefield through the playground. Because people will automatically assume and take for granted that these people get into these jobs to help other people. Sometimes. But most of it, people don't have anything else. It's like just like how people go into the military. They don't have, either the financial backing, they don't have the parental backing to go do other jobs or have the genetics to do other things. So they go into organizations which are heavily Masonic, and they try to strive to rise up the ladder, and they find themselves being compromised in all types of different secret societies. It's the same way amongst the entertainment industry. They keep putting young Dolph's wife on television as if we're supposed to feel sorry for a black rapper rapping about shooting and killing other black men, as if he's living some type of righteous life, as if he didn't have a whole album cover with the Illuminati this and Illuminati that, and if I sacrifice for my family, and then they throw it in your face and say, yeah, he sacrificed for us, and so what? Who cares? He got shot and killed as a hit or as a sacrifice or as a ritual. They can get anybody. The poor can take out the poor. The dumb can take out the dumb. And this is what the whole point of prophecy is about. You just seen it in a very small aspect when it comes to entertainment industry. But what you seen the wicked getting used against the wicked to take each other out. And then they put it in front of your face on mainstream media as some form of righteousness, which is just lowering your frequency. So you think in your brain that Young Dolph and any other entertainer is doing something righteous because you see them with their family. Because you see him married up with a wife. Because you see him taking care of his kids. And what do you think these kids are going to become? You think these kids are going to become doctors, lawyers, somebody who's actually going to find the Most High in these last days? I don't want to assume, but it's going to be hard. If they're going to be living under the shadows of their father. Because if you look at all the entertainers' kids, like Bow Wow, P. Diddy, all those kids, you think those kids are really being taught the truth? You really think they're bringing these kids up, like the Kardashian kids, you think they're bringing these kids up to teach other kids in their demographic, their age bracket, in the community, how to find the Most High? No, they're getting ready for these kids to be the new shining stars of Satanism. That's all it is. They need to go past you as a parent and get to your kids to lower their frequency. So your kids following their celebrity friends, their celebrity children. It's very odd. A lot of these celebrities have these Instagrams with their infants. It's really an odd thing. It's borderline narcissism, but it's borderline cringe, really. But to go back to the victims of these fires, they rarely ever say the names of these victims. They don't bring out the landlords of these buildings or the owners of these buildings to answer any questions. You only see who? You only see the fire department and the police department and maybe occasionally a governor or a mayor who's speaking. And you got to believe that any mayor or governor you see are either tied to a secret society or they're tied to a religion that's being hoisted above as the quote-unquote chosen people. Like I said, they play around. It's like a chessboard to them. They play around. They move pieces all around based on numerical value. Now, let me get a little bit of deep into this. Now, if these people have fallen because of a fire or because of, you know, smoke and they just died, you have to think that all through their life, they have been given chances to follow the Most High, to reach the Most High, and get instances in their life that they needed to correct something in their life. But they didn't. So what happens is every move they made was pointing them in a direction where they had to find housing in a building that was soon or later been used as a ritual or been used as a sacrifice. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say the wheat and the tare? That's what it said. Let them grow. Don't harvest them yet because you may take the righteous with the wicked. Wait till the wicked go into one corner. Wait till the righteous go in the other corner. Then you can see what is what. So what you're seeing right now, which is a shame that it happened to children. It is. But it ain't like the Most High hasn't given orders to the children of Israel to take out women and children and cattle and all this other stuff. So get out your mind like, oh, everybody deserves to live a full life. Because it's in scripture where Most High told Saul that he should remove the Amalekites from the face of the earth and decided not to do that. And those children grew up and wanting to eradicate the Israelites because of Saul, because of the Israelites. So don't get into all these children deserve to live a full life. Look, when the Most High said is it, that's it. Everything he does has a purpose. You may not understand it. That's why he says, you know, his thoughts are higher than man's thoughts. He doesn't think on the outside. He thinks on the inside. His ways are not our ways. So we don't understand, you know, what, you know, his plans are. We really don't. That living in fear or being fearful of punishment or judgment is so preached about or really ignored in scripture because people think that we are supposed to just be prosperous. Prosperity is supposed to be just booming. when we find the Most High. And it's not necessarily that type of avenue for us. It really isn't. Not everybody's supposed to prosper. I mean, yeah, Abraham did it. Jacob has done it. You know, the kingdom of Judah has done it. But it's very small parts. And it's under really, really strict rules and oblations, offerings, and situations that allowed the Israelites to prosper in certain areas. But we take it as we all should be prospering. We should be getting this internal knowledge to play the system, to beat the system. It's necessary. It's not necessarily built for that. It's to protect you, grow your hedge, so you can make great decisions. Then catch the system when it's sleeping. Then catch the system when it's faltering. Not to just get into the system using the word and try to finagle your way into riches. It's not happening. And then you try to have people understand this, but we forget that this generation is so heavily mind controlled and brainwashed by mainstream media. They actually believe, and this comes from the black community. They actually believe that after all this time of them voting, that they believe the Republicans or white folk want to take away their voting rights. So they have created 2 or 3 voting rights acts where it's basically complaining that you have to show an ID, that the ballot boxes or the ballot buildings are moving, or it's 2 miles further than I needed to go, or it's not in my district, or it's not at the local check cashing and liquor store. I mean, this is what people actually complain, and that's what mainstream media is spinning. It's spinning that black folk who have been able to vote for the last, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, has never gotten their vote stripped from them even today. So why would you need to create a Voting Rights Act? And what they're really trying to do is loosen the ID restrictions. I don't know how you're going to loosen it. You have to be 18 and over to vote. Just like you have to be 21 and over to drink. Legally. Like if you go to the bar, I'm a politician and I'm going to say, well, they won't let black people go into a bar and drink because the age limit is 21. And then people will probably eat that up. They would march. They would say the Republicans are racist and bring out the Confederate flag and all this other nonsense. But that's what they would do. They would say, well, we can't drink in this particular bar because this bar is not in my district. This bar is 21 and over to drink. I have to show ID. That's not fair. If you know how foolish that story sounds, that's exactly what they're doing with this Voting Rights Act. Trying to loosen the ID restrictions and complaining because black folk, for some reason, don't have a government ID. Which you need that to travel. Which you need that to drive the car. And they act like if they move the ballot box or because they gerrymander anyway. That's what they do. That's what they do. They redesign the districts. And the thing is, through Hegelian dialect, they want you to complain. They give you an issue so you can complain about, so you can lobby for it. And then they give you a solution. If black people are mad that they can't vote for some reason, they can get their voting rights stripped away, then let's gerrymander the districts so we can put the ballot boxes, which we're already going to move anyway. Let's put the ballot boxes in this district and say this is a black district. So we can redesign it. So if something fails, or if a blue state goes to red state, or a red state go to blue state, we can say if it goes to a blue state, black people had a hand in it. If it goes to a red state, it's because the Voting Rights Act wasn't structured right in that specific state. That's all they're going to do. For some reason, black people eat this up, but that's what they're going to do. And you get, because this is MLK weekend, you get Bernice King. You get the King family always sharing posts of, oh, my father this and my father that. My father got into voting and did and showing pictures of them at the ballot box. And I told people on my Instagram, yo, those days are done. It is completely over. That buffoonery and coonery is done. That soft shoeing and tap toe dancing, this Daffy ducking for this system, for this state, for this city, for this country, is done. It has not worked for us. Bill Jimmy Bill Biden. Joe Biden is a perfect example of how he came from that era and did completely nothing but try to eradicate black lives through that 1994 crime bill, along with Bill Clinton. We woke up out of that, and they still are posting tweets about how great Martin Luther King was. It's over. His father was a Prince Hall Mason. His grandfather was a Prince Hall Mason. And then Martin Luther King is an alpha. When he was shot at the Lorraine Hotel, all the men that were around him pointing while he got shot were all members of a Greek fraternity. Now, if he was really the Most High's, you know, Moses, or the Most High's Jeremiah, or the Most High's Yahushua, why would you wouldn't just get shot in the neck and then not die and then get to the hospital and they killed him there? That story's already been out. He didn't die on Lorraine Hotel when he got shot in the neck. He died when he was in the hospital trying to recover. They smothered him with a pillow. He was killed at the hospital. But you got to think, all these, Reverend Jesse Jackson, all these people are a part of Greek societies that were there. You have to imagine, if they were all there, that means everybody had to know he was going to be sacrificed that day, probably. Somebody had to know. Because once they build you up, they sacrifice you so your legend can, so the spell of everything he said and done would live on just like it lives on today. Just like the foolery lives on today. That's why the only quote I really love from him is the, "I fear that I may have integrated my people into a burning house." And if you read the book of Obadiah, that's exactly how Edom is described, or described to fall through burning. It's not like these people don't know who we are or weren't taught who they are. When they get to these secret societies, I'm pretty sure, and this works for the entertainment industry too. That's why when people flip out and think, "Oh, Ice Cube is awakening because he knows about the Israelite." Trust me, they tell these people, just like Kanye, they tell these people exactly who they are so they can make a conscious decision whether to take the left path or the right path. It's not like, "Oh, they just don't know who they are." Trust me, they know who they are. It leaked in Kodak Black's song. It leaked in Kendrick Lamar's song. They pull these people aside and say, "Before we do this to you now, we want you to know this is who you are. This is the story of how you got here. Now, do you want this story, which is no money in it, or do you want fame and riches, success, to be an idol, to be a mogul, to be glorified, to be exalted? You want that? You have to go this way." And that's what most people who don't, you know, have a good family, strong backing, they're going to usually take the money. They're going to take the fame and success. It's the same thing with the NCAA trying to get players into this system where, "Oh, it's okay to pay them now." And I'm telling you, all they're doing is they're bringing Freemasonry into every aspect of the sporting world. I'm telling you, it's going to go all the way down to Pee Wee. That's what they really want. They want to take that Freemasonry, which they have, like the Tom Brady's, the Antonio Browns. They want that level of Freemasonry, that level of control into college. That's why they want it. It wasn't like they NCAA didn't want to play the players. They Hegelian dialected people and said, "No, we want to be paid. We want the ability to go get money. We want the ability to be marketed and to receive funds from our marketing." Oh, and they were like, "Oh, okay, cool." And what happens is, all right, if I want to pay somebody and I'm a Freemason, that means I own the companies. So if I want this specific athlete based on looks, based on what I want from, you know, what I want him to distribute as far as propaganda from my company, I'm going to pay him and say, "Hey, you have to get into Freemasonry. You have to start off at a low degree and then build your way up." And by the time these young kids don't understand what they're doing, they're already going to be halfway into the homosexual rituals, the gay rituals that they do. They're going to be halfway into almost offering up a blood sacrifice. And that's what people need to start opening their eyes to. Once stars start really hitting those paydays for marketing companies, watch how many relatives start end up missing. Watch how many relatives be found dead. It's coming. You have to believe it's coming. It's already getting down there. Just like Rich, Kanye's boy. I'm not Kanye's boy, but LeBron's boy, Rich. How that kid from that NBA basketball team, that college basketball team that he signed, turned around as soon as he signed, was sacrificed and ritualized. Sometimes they just bring people up just for that company to have a sacrifice. That's what they do. They just like they did that Crenshaw rapper. I can't think of his name right now. Nipsey. It's the same they did with Nipsey. They brought him around other Freemasons, other people in that occult, those rappers in that Meek Mill and Drake video. They brought him in. Soon as they got him a Jeep, like, come on. He didn't even sell enough or do anything enough to even be rewarded with a GQ photo shoot. Nothing he did deserved the GQ photo shoot. Nothing. He wasn't even nominated until after he was dying. He died. Or in like kind of like in the middle. He maybe got one nomination and then he died and he had like a couple of nominations and a Grammy win after that. But after being in the music business for so long, people really didn't even know who Nipsey was until they saw him with Lauren London. And then you saw and they got you to idolize that relationship. So that's what kind of made his celebrity cemented in a lot of people's minds, because they thought this dude been hustling this whole time. And he's always been famous, but he's not. He literally has gotten famous that year, sacrificed that year. They just bring people up to get rid of them just so, like Martin Luther King, that spell of, oh, he's doing something for the community. Man, he was doing it for his people, man. They had to come and get him, man. The system don't let us win. It wasn't that. These people are part of the system. They know when they go into every situation, they have a choice to make. And you can sign your life over, and it's their life. You make your life their property. So they could do whatever they want with you. I mean, going to, you know, the Omicron virus, it's another spell. It's another thing they raise up on people. It don't even make sense. We done gone through 4 or 5 variants in under 2 to 3 years. And some people really think that viruses change this way. They mutate this way. People really think that. No other... AIDS don't even mutate. As deadly as AIDS was, it didn't even mutate this way. Ebola hasn't even mutated. If anything that should take anybody out and mutate is Ebola. But the thing is, they don't have power to kill anybody they want, which is what they wanted to do anyway. They don't have the power to lower or depopulate anybody. As much as everybody believes Bill Gates and them had that power, trust me, like I said before, this is the Most High's show. These people don't have no power to depopulate anybody. When y'all hear that, oh, that Atlanta, Georgia, the Georgia Guidestones, where, oh, you got to maintain, that ain't theirs. People give them too much credit. Y'all give men too much credit. 70-year-old, down low men too much credit to think that they have the power to kill anybody they want here, that they can just wipe, snap their fingers like Thanos and just boom, it'll happen. They don't have that power. What they do is make you pretend and threaten you. I mean, they act like they have that power, but they're all controlled and being puppets just like anybody else, from the president, from the military, from, the UN, all these local leaders. They all are puppets, all of them. They all go to MK Ultra. They all have to be told what to do, and they all answer to somebody. And people think, starting to fear them because they have all of this weaponry. If they wanted to, wouldn't you think they would have brought tanks, jeeps, military, armed forces? Wouldn't you think they will already bring them through here already? Because that's what they've been wanting to do. But they can't do it because it's based on a specific spell, a specific numbering system that they think they have to follow to rule this world. But it's really, it's the Most High show, and he gave it over to Satan to do what he wanted with the people he can control, with who he can control. That's why if you think people dying over this Omicron virus is foolish to me. They keep reporting the numbers, but they never mention how many people recovered from the Omicron. They don't even barely tell you who dying. They keep saying the number of the cases going up. The number of the cases going up. The people who are not vaccinated, the number of cases are going up. It's the unvaccinated that's filling up hospital beds. That's not the truth. Because people who are vaccinated or three times vaccinated or three times vaccinated and boosters, they still catching the virus too. And then they now come up with a variant called Deltacron. It's like, are we trying to go through the whole Greek alphabet till we get to Omega? Because when you think it's going to be done, it's a lot of more, you know, variant Greek alphabets that we can go through. They're just going to be mixing and matching to get you more scared. And the thing is, if you just look at how many people recovered, it far outweighs the people who are dying. I mean, it's not a true pandemic, but let me go to Jubilees 10 so I can wrap this up for you. And in Jubilees 10, verse 1, and in the third week of this Jubilee, the unclean devils began to lead astray the children of the sons of Noah and to make to err and to destroy them. And the sons of Noah came to Noah, their father, and they told him concerning the devils which were leading astray and blinding and slaying his sons' sons. And he prayed before Yahuwah Elohayu and said, Elohim of spirit of all flesh, who has shown mercy unto me and has saved me and my sons from waters of the flood, and has not caused me to perish as you did the sons of perdition. For your grace has been great towards me, and great has been your mercy to my soul. Let your grace be lift up upon my sons, and let not the wicked spirits rule over them, lest they should destroy them from the earth. But do you bless me and my sons, that we may increase and multiply and replenish the earth? And you know how your watchers, the fathers of these spirits, acted in my day. And as for these spirits which are living, imprison them and hold them fast in the place of condemnation, and let them not bring destruction on the sons of your servant, my Elohim, for these are malignant and created in order to destroy, and let them not rule over the spirit of the living. And then verse 8, and the chief of the spirits, Mastema, came and said, Yahuwah, creator, let some of them remain before me, and let them hearken to my voice, and do all that I shall say unto them. For if some of them are not left to me, I shall not be able to execute the power of my will on the sons of men, for these are for corruption and leading astray before my judgment. For great is the wickedness of the sons of men. And he said, let the tenth part of them remain before him, and let the ninth parts descend into the place of condemnation. And one of us he commanded that we should teach Noah all their medicines, for he knew that they would not walk in uprightness nor strive in righteousness. And we did according to all his words, and all the malignant evil ones we bound in the place of condemnation, and a tenth part of them we left that they may be subject before Satan on earth. And we explained to Noah all the medicines of their diseases together with their seductions, how he might heal them with the herbs of the earth. So, if you look at the grand scheme of every disease, every illness, and every virus that ever walked this earth, it all comes from demonic spirits. And you can be healed through what? Not AstraZeneca, not Pfizer, not Johnson & Johnson, but herbs of the earth. You don't need Dr. Sebi to understand this. You don't need Nipsey Hussle co-signing Dr. Sebi to understand this. This is what's been written in books thousands of years ago. We're the only ones that think we woke up and become enlightened and want to pass off information and honor other people based on men's foolishness. It says that the demonic spirits, which are living, are used to lead astray and destroy men who act wickedly. They are made for corruption. They are made to get you to be in fear of this system. These are the same demons that these people invoke through spells, through magic, through casting of spells. This is what they do. So their punishment is what Satan wants for them, is to die, is to load up hell. Every time you see the volcano action, you know, crank up, that's just the Most High cranking up the AC. He just turning on the fireplace. He getting ready things. He boiling things. He getting ready to cook. He putting that oven on preheat. From Prince Mastema into Satan, I don't know if they're the same person, but these specific chief demons of demons asked the most. They had to ask the Most High, "Can you let us have some of them? Don't destroy all of the seed, the demonic seeds from the giants. Don't, please don't destroy all of them. Let us have some of them so we can work evil amongst the people who will not be upright or righteous." And then even that, the Most High made them teach Noah all the medicines so people could be healed from the infirmities inflicted upon them by demonic spirits. If you read the Testament of Solomon, it's the same thing. They talk about how they have the ability to make children, men, women, blind and deaf because of a spirit. We think going to LASIK is the solution for everything. We think going to other places like going to hospitals, knowing that they don't heal you. We've been preaching the money is not in the cure. The money is in the sickness. So basically you got demons running around here making people sick, don't know how sick they are, and they think going to the hospital or going to the system that's created by demons is a sure way to get them healed. Now, mind you, most of them heal on their own, and most of them have miraculous recoveries, yeah. But at the end of the day, it had nothing to do with vaccines back in the day. So why would you think vaccines is going to cure you or vaccines help? From H1N1 to the pig flu to the West Nile to Ebola, all of those viruses, demons created, those diseases demons have created, and then they have the cure for them, but they just don't share them with you because they created these diseases just like they did back in Noah's day. Like all men do is create foolishness, create problems, create wickedness. Like China made a whole sun. For what purpose? They say it burns hotter than the natural sun. What purpose? You telling me a people who hate the sun, really, because they think racially that you are looked lower upon if you are a darker Asian, because they liking that to a rice picker. That's like over here in America, a field Negro. If you darker because of the sin, you worked out in the sun all day, you looked at as a field Negro. And if obviously if you're in the house, you're a little bit light-skinned because you're not out in the fields. That's how Asians look at their own people. So you're going to tell me a people who hate the sun, who if you've seen them when they visit us, those North Koreans and those Chinese people wearing all that white makeup on their face because they want to stay porcelain white. You gonna tell me they built a sun? For what? It ain't for tanning. And all they gonna do is they creating their own downfall. All those people in that country that rely on the wildlife of the sea, and they're gonna put a sun up. What do you think that sun goes? It's mentioned in Revelation. What do you think that specific sun or star is going to fall into? It's going to fall into the waters, which will poison the waters. And the fish would die. These people get ready to starve themselves through their stupid projects. That's what I mean. Like the Most High says, man's foolishness. Like no, the Most High's foolishness is like basically man's most glorified smartness in this world. That's what the Most High says. Most High says his foolishness is man's greatest accomplishment in this system. So everything he lets us build for ourselves, our own destruction, he does that. So he say, well, remember you built this? It ain't my fault you did this to yourself. I will mock you. Proverbs 1:21-26. I will mock you when your calamity comes. I will mock you when you destroy yourself. Because he told people not to do it. But like I said, they have demons leading them astray on purpose, for people the Most High don't care about. And people don't understand this because they're so into this glorifying me, glorifying me through self-love, glorifying me through whatever Egyptian gods I'm honoring, glorifying me through my awakening of my third eye. Everybody's glorifying themselves, self-loving themselves. That's why you see a lot of people fighting on airplanes. I have never seen this more in my life in the last 2 or 3 years. You've seen people more prima donna than any other time in this generation. That people really think that the whole world is supposed to bend to them if they have a problem on the plane. I mean, people are fighting flight attendants. People are fighting each other. I don't know how you just don't go into an airplane, sit down, and just enjoy your flight. People are going into airplanes and either getting drunk or having something to say or didn't want to put their mask on, knowing that's the rules, and then mouthing off to other people, and then other people standing up and saying, well, you got to put your mask. Like, it's just, everybody has a Yelp, everybody. That social credit scoring, it's already going on right now. People gotta Yelp each other. Strangers they don't even know, they got to Yelp them. In their mind, they're giving them ratings. They're giving them Uber ratings. And then people put hands on each other. That's because this generation is emotionally shallow, filled with emotionally shallow people. I mean, look on social media. It started with throwing cheese on the heads of infants. For I don't know why people recorded that, but that's what parents were doing. Then parents would set their children in between the parent and run away and see which parent the child would run to. Like, who does this? That's emotionally shallow people. They're filming themselves seeing which child will make a decision to run to which parent. Why would you put your child through that? You self-love yourself so much that you want to split up your child's dependency on two parents and make them make a decision at the age of 2 or 3 to see who they go to in a desperate or crisis situation. Then you had parents doing the Snapchat filter with the horse face, scaring the life out of their own child and thinking it's funny and posting it. Posting your child's trauma because you're emotionally shallow. You need a reaction. Then it stopped going into babies. Then it went to pretend you're eating your pet with that crunchy crunch sound and filming the dog's reaction. And dogs are already emotionally shallow animals anyway. You couldn't do this with a cat. That's why people love dogs. That's why people who are proud and to be lonely and single with dogs, because dogs are emotionally shallow. They need to be controlled. They need to be put in, you know, obedience on. They're emotionally shallow creatures to begin with. So people who are already emotionally shallow, they deserve each other. So they filming the dog's reaction. Then it went from that to bark at your dog and film that reaction. So people are barking at their dogs and the dog looking at them like they completely lost their minds just to have a reaction that they can film it. Then it went from there to scare your pet. Now people are scaring their pets and posting it. That's how you know this generation is completely stupid, dumb. That these people, there's no point in talking to these people. You might as well just sarcastically mock them or give them the information in a way that's mocking them at this point, because they don't listen. They only listen. They're emotionally shallow people only listen to you when they start feeling bad, when everybody around them knows what they don't know and makes them feel worse. Like I said, their brain is going to reset. I seen that on my page a lot. A lot of people came in trying to joke on the information being told and then being humbled and then end up coming around later and say, oh, you were kind of right. This opened my eyes. That's how it happens. It happens when people who are emotionally shallow think the world revolves around them and acts like no one else exists. And then the last little coup d'etat they did is act like you're dead in front of your pet or like you're attacked by the vacuum cleaner, to see what your dog's reaction would be, if that dog would come over and feel and care for you. Like, people are so gone that they base everything on the simplest emotion without logic. It's not like I haven't been through those stages before, because I have. I've been through those stages. But those stages were never a life decision for me. They were phases. It's okay to go through phases, but don't make it your life decision to always do things or operate from an emotionally shallow mode. And that comes from being too attached to your flesh. That's really what it comes from. It comes from being way too attached to your flesh. I mean, for myself, I was, you know, practicing escapism. That was my go-to, is to escape. So I wouldn't have to feel. And the thing is, I'm a natural empath. So I feel too much. I feel everything. Things that I pay attention to bother me to a point. It shouldn't bother me, but it bothers me to a point. If you are an empath, you understand what I'm talking about. Everything gets at you. Everybody's spirit, the way people move, the way people look, the way people act, it all eats at you. When you're an empath and you're not knowing or understanding how to deal with being one. So what I was doing is I was constantly being drunk. It was a 4-year period where all I did was drink and do ecstasy. It was a period where I could not have sex with anyone. Or with the time, really, I couldn't fornicate if I didn't have MDMA or ecstasy in my system. It was a 4-year period that I wouldn't fornicate sober. I had to be either drunk or high or both. And I did that religiously. Before I woke up, that's what I did religiously. I would be in my house, whatever woman I was with, and I would fornicate I'm talking about from 8 o'clock to 4 or 5 in the morning. Then I would sleep all day. Then I'd wait till the weekend. Go get more pills. Do it for the whole entire weekend. And then function for the week. Wait till the weekend. Do it all again. And I did it for a 4-year period. So I was really putting so much emphasis and putting so much stress on my flesh that I started ripping holes in my hedge where I start seeing demonic activities. I saw shadow men. I saw shadow babies. I saw white mists that would just float out of nowhere. White mists would just float in my living room. And I was so numb to it, I thought it was funny. I didn't have fear of it. That's the scary part. I didn't have fear that I was that close of stirring up demonic activity within my life to destroy myself. I was bringing myself closer and closer to my own damnation, my own death, my own judgment, and not knowing it. And I was going to be high doing it. I was going to go out like Chris Farley. I was going to be high, ecstasy, mollied up, partying, and going to just die and think like, that was it. That's what I wanted to do. I can't play football no more. I might as well die high. Because that was running through my mind after a while. And when you do that, so many weird suicidal thoughts popping in and out of your head. And I'm not talking about they popping in and out of your head at the middle of the night. I'm talking about it's 3 p.m. in the afternoon on a Tuesday. These thoughts hit you. So when you can't get your dealer to meet up with you, then you go into drinking. And that's what I was doing, uppers and downers, downers and uppers. That's what alcohol is, the downer. And I was using that upper, and then I would find that sweet spot in between getting drunk and being high and finding that sweet spot and fornicating and ripping more holes in my hedge. Lost. And from that, you develop a whole different personality. You develop a whole different character. Especially when you are empath and you base everything on flesh and how you feel. Every little thing gets at you. So you lash out on people. And that's what I was doing. I was lashing out on people. People who were trying to help me, I was being ultra defensive. People would say, hey man, you got demons on you. I would just snap at them. It was those demonic beings attached to my bloodstream, attached to my system, lashing out on anybody who was righteous trying to get me to go into the light. And in my situation, the only way I came out of that is to understand who I was as a person. And I had to let a lot of things go. A lot of my image was based on the NFL. A lot of my image was based on hanging with Jay, hanging with Kanye, hanging with Beyonce. A lot of my image based on who I was at that time, who I was in a nightclub, my nightclub reputation, who I was in the streets. That was my image that I was trying to hold on to. And the Most High was dragging me away from that. He was dragging me out of that. I was kicking and screaming, but he was dragging me out of it. And it wasn't at the point at the time, even when he was working with me, it wasn't like I quit cold turkey doing ecstasy or doing Molly or MDMA. It wasn't like I quit cold turkey. It was nice where it was one or two times, then I would pray. One or three or four times, I would pray. Then it was one time I was doing it. Then it was, after that, I wasn't doing it anymore after that. Then it was, I stopped fornicating. Then it was, I was seeing visions of who I'm supposed to be with. Then it was working those relationships, working on that relationship within the laws of the Most High. And then at, this is what my point is, this whole show is the intermission, because I have to take a break. I'm going to be on break for 2 or 3 weeks. Because I'm at a point where, being an empath, I now feel it in my spirit, but now I can't cover it up with drugs. I can't cover it up with alcohol. I can't cover it up with fornicating anymore. I have to really deal with the faults within my system, within my spirit, so it doesn't lead me astray. So I don't coax myself into that scenario again. And sometimes when you're an empath, you feel everything. You want people to get the message. You want them to understand what you're saying. You can't open people's brains, rip out the spirit, and push and shove the information down their throats. You really, at this point, you can't do that. And some of you have to understand, when you get into telling the truth and preaching and doing your own work, you have to understand that we are in a time, we are in a generation, we are at the end where people will not listen to sound advice. And the thing is, they are not supposed to. You have to understand that. They are not supposed to hear what you have to say. What would the Bible be if everybody woke up and did the right thing? A father, law, statutes, commandments. What would the Bible be? The Bible would be pointless if it didn't have the witnesses of these specific curses that's going to come in the end times to demonstrate our faith. So I know some of you get upset and get so frustrated when it comes to preaching and telling the truth and using scripture and doing all that. I get it. But you have to understand, it's some people in this world, and it's the majority of them, they aren't supposed to get it. They only are supposed to mock you. They're only supposed to make fun of you. They're only supposed to go to your comment section and start discord. Because their curses and their end is based on their mockery of you. That's what you need to start seeing. And I think for myself, I'm starting to go at, or my personal life and my relationships are starting to leak out on social media, and I do not want that. It's starting to almost muddle my spirit and muddle the interpretation of the Most High Spirit, and I don't want that. Like Paul says, you know, don't quench your spirit, and I'm on the border of quenching my spirit because I'm not right with in my spiritual relationship. And I do not want to force trying to speak about the word, trying to speak about current events with a spiritual mind while I'm in the middle or I'm on the edge of quenching my spirit. And I think a lot of you have to be honest with yourself in that. Don't try to hide in your work when you are sinning or anything. Take a break. Take a break to reevaluate what you really want to do. Go to the Most High when you feel comfortable and ready to go to the Most High. Offer sacrifices. Offer any oblations. Anything. A meat offering, a smoke offering, a drink offering. Do what you need to do. Fast. Do what you need to do to set your spirit right. Because that's what I got to do over these next 2 or 3 weeks. I have to set myself right because I feel myself teetering off. And it's all based on, for me, trying to follow laws, statutes, commandments within a relationship. It's hard to have a relationship at this point in time with someone who hasn't fully woken up. It's really hard to. It's hard to do that. When you are risen spiritually and you understand the laws, you understand the commandments, and you try to live a healthy relationship spiritually under the Most High's commandments, and that person ain't there yet. That person's not really there yet because they, you know, whatever's going on in their life, they're just not there yet because y'all on different planes of existence. We're not saying that you're too far off that you can't be understanding of it, but you're on a different level of existence, so you don't want to start resenting that other person because they haven't woken up yet. Don't do that. Just reevaluate where you are and where you have been in your own struggle and kind of be understanding with that person's struggle and kind of let it develop on its own. But do not let that quench your spirit. Do not let that quench what you are trying to do for the Most High. If you need to take time, take time. Don't give up. A lot of this fighting and a lot of this that we go through, I'm pretty sure it's being used to purify us. It's like gold is tried in the fire. It's used to purify us. So when things attack, when you feel and you finally get married, you finally find the relationship you want, when you eventually get attacked, which you will be able to stand stronger than you would now. Because you have a little bit more understanding how it all is supposed to work out. Remember, Jubilees 10. It is the demonic spirits that are lingering, that are sent to steal, kill, and destroy. Do your best to remain within that hedge. No one's perfect on both sides of the equation of spirituality and someone who's not awakened. It's a struggle. It really is. It's a struggle. Because you feel, for empath, you feel a lot of the times, you feel like you're compromising yourself more than you need to. Because you don't want to feel like you've been ran over. You don't want to feel like you've been taken for granted. That's your emotionally shallow area part that you're trying to get out of your system. That's rearing its head. Check yourself. Just like I do, I have to check myself. Because when you have a sober mind and those thoughts hit you, they hit you 10,000 degrees higher than your normal thoughts if you were drunk, living in the world, living off flesh. I see you on the next 2 or 3 weeks. Love.